Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back, and oh boy, do we have something to talk about. We were recording this on New Year's Eve. It's 12:03 a.m. Just taking in everything from this insanity of this Monday night game that was moved to Saturday night. So this Saturday night football game against the Cowboys in Dallas. And guess what? The Lions have won the NFC North, and yet, they find another way to get screwed by the refs. We're going to get into all that in a moment. But before we do, let's get to the rest of the Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here. We got Connor.
Yo.
And UJ.
Hello.
So, the Lions have an improbable comeback drive down the field. Score 23 seconds left. We got Rud Dog joining too, I should mention. The Lions have this incredible comeback drive. And then everybody knows this is Dan Campbell. The Lions are going to go for two for the win. Great. Awesome. They run a play action. Taylor Decker delays his block, gets open. They score the 2-point conversion. They take the lead with 23 seconds left, 21-20. Lions are going to win the game. Wait, hold on. I'm still waiting. Hold on. It's 45 seconds later. Oh, there's a flag thrown on the field now. They report that Taylor Decker had a legal touching that he did not report as an eligible receiver, and that Dan Skipper, when he came in and lined up at the right tackle, was also illegally covered by a receiver on the outside. So there's two things to this. After video review, it clearly shows that Taylor Decker reported as an eligible receiver to the NFL referee. It's as clear as day on tape. It can't be any more clear. And that Dan Skipper didn't say a single word to the ref to report as an eligible receiver. Yeah. By him not reporting as an eligible receiver, that is not a penalty because he can be covered because he's not eligible. And then Taylor Decker reporting as an eligible receiver can touch the ball legally. So the refs have just completely forgotten how to officiate an NFL game at the most critical part of the game. And this is not like even the pass interference of Pettigrew. At least that's subjective. This is literally a rule that's written down, verbatim so in the rule book, and not a game was stolen away from the refs. And if you guys have seen any of the Dan Campbell post game conference, usually he admits defeat and stuff like that. He is as livid as you'll ever see Dan Campbell in the post game news conference. He was screaming at the reporters, even, which you never see him do either. This is awful on a million different levels. Again, not subjective like a pass interference. This is literally a rule written, and the line, and Dan Campbell even said he went over this with the refs for a T before the game. Like, he told them this was coming at some point.
There's no excuse.
There's only one excuse I can think of, and that the NFL scripted this, and the refs had to figure a way to pull it out of their butts, and they did.
There's the Dallas narrative that they went undefeated at home, and they needed that narrative.
Yeah, Jimmy Johnson ring induction night. Like, you got to get the win with him there and all the Cowboy people. I don't know what else it could be. I mean, this should be criminally investigated, honestly, because, like...
I agree.
Unless they plan on reversing the result of the game, I don't give a fuck about their sorry.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to get another apology. It's just ludicrous. And this ref should be fired. Like, this is a fireable offense. You did not do your job.
It is, but they're not going to do that.
Or maybe he did his job, and that worries me more.
They didn't leave.
They didn't. It was clean. Everything was clean. and they just had it stolen from him. Ridiculous.
I mean, you could tell the Lions like practices perfectly. Like Decker kind of walks over late, reports kind of slyly, and then Skipper runs in late to make it look like he's the one reporting, but he actually doesn't report. And this is everything that Dan Campbell told him was going to happen. I guess the ref just like Dan Skipper had been reporting eligible multiple times throughout the game, and he just made the assumption he saw him running in that he was going to report, even though Decker was right in his face telling him he was going to report. Just unbelievable. Just ludicrous. Usually you should not blame the refs for losing the game, but literally the game was won. Well, I mean, we can go on for like another 30 minutes, an hour about the history of Lions and refs. This is arguably the most egregious one ever, besides the batting of the ball too at Seattle. Like that was a clear, just missed rule. The refs didn't know how to, call the rule book. And now this game, with this loss, that pretty much cements the Lions as a 3 seed in the NFC. But even beyond that, yeah. So the Lions, bullshit call, etc. They get the 5 yards pushback. I kicked the extra point. The Lions get super lucky that there's an offside. I thought they were just lining up for the extra point, from there to see if they could draw an offside and get closer to the goal line for another 2-point attempt. But in the press conference, that does not appear to be what was going on. They just appeared to be going for it from the 7.
So 0%.
I do not agree with that call at all. And then even going from the 4 was kind of questionable too. I don't love it. I know the mentality, and we love the mentality. That's why we love Campbell. I'm curious what your guys' thoughts are, but I say kick the field goal, go to extra. You can only come with so many plays to win the game. I don't know.
By the third attempt, it's borderline reckless to me. I think you got to kick the field goal by the third.
At least that was an action-based penalty, though. In the heat of the moment, this was just like clearly like, guys, we got to come up with something quick. Think. like they waited so long.
It's not even borderline. Campbell was out of his mind at the time and in the moment. He was just going nuts and. He was just like in Tin Cup, the movie, where he kept going for that one shot and kept dribbling back in the water. Campbell would have kept doing this no matter what.
I think so.
he was determined to, I don't know. He was angry, mad. He didn't care at this point. So.
So, UJ, are you saying the emotions got the best of him at that point of the game?
Absolutely. I think logically, yeah.
Rud Dog, I know you disagree.
I don't know. I don't necessarily disagree. Like, obviously, there's plenty of arguments to be made against what he did. I don't know what his motivation was. I think he didn't care was not on the list of the reasons. I think he just was set in what he was going to do. Maybe he felt like maybe he did get let the emotions in. I don't know. But the guy calls it instinctively. It was clear he was set on going for it from the very first time we scored. So it just seemed like that was where he decided to make his stand, and you can make all the arguments you want, but PAT is no guarantee either. The things go the way they go. And today they didn't go our way.
Well, I mean, the Lions still had a ton of momentum even after executing the touchdown drive and, we should have kicked it, especially in hindsight. Although I will say if Goff throws a better ball to Mitchell there's a fairly decent chance it gets in the end zone there. That was a horrible pass by Goff.
Terrible pass.
Yeah, if he hits him in the chest, he could definitely extend and maybe hit the line. I mean, the rest probably would have called it back because,
penetrating too far into the end zone, 5-yard penalty. They'll come up with...
Whoa, penetrating what?
So this is... this was not Goff's best game by any stretch. To be fair to him, the offensive line was sporadic in pass protection throughout this game. Because there were some drives that looked great, like especially in the run blocking. They averaged 4 yards of carry still in this game. But even then, the run blocking is sporadic. So,
yeah, so many times they got stuck for minus 2 yards. They
kept running that damn draw play to Gibbs.
Happened this many times.
And yes, especially in third down and short. They refused to do a play action on third and short in this game for a long time.
It was frustrating.
Which I found odd. But
not Ben's best.
Yeah, Goff. I mean, the first interception, okay, that made like read the play correct under duress. He didn't even look when he threw. He just threw to where he knew the guy was going to be.
Yeah, it's a draw or a screen. That's the way those are usually ran, you know?
The second one's inexcusable. Late in the game, you got to throw that outside. that one was inexcusable. But then he came back, and the Cowboys ran an incredibly stupid long pass to the end zone to give us a free timeout. And that helped us get into the end zone at the end. And he made some great throws on that drive, especially the one to Laporte over the middle, over linebackers and in front of the safety. That was a phenomenal
throw.
Great touch and everything. And that's what we love Goff for. But, you know, a couple times when it mattered in this game, didn't quite make the right throw. But again, also the JMO throw was phenomenal too. He got hit as he threw on that one.
55 yards in the air. So he can throw it long. Now we now know.
We know. Almost like we knew it already.
Yeah, and the rare time that we get to see it. Yes.
I just saw this tweet. Sorry. I think Dan Campbell would have gone for two from the 50. And I think they're right.
Then it would make more sense right, though, honestly, because you're not hitting a PAT from the 50.
Hey, I'll tell you what though. Hey, we come out with the losses, but I'm telling you, Dallas knows they lost this game. And this is the thing. And the Lions know they won it. So it doesn't matter what happens now. We're in the playoffs. This is going to piss them off even more. The NFL just pissed off the Lions even more. So to the rest of the chagrin of the rest of the NFL, look out, guys. The Lions are pissed now on top of being good. So.
Yeah, because, you know, like this game and we're easily gone. I felt like I think a lot of people half expected to see the Baltimore game this week. But we freaking showed that not only do we belong on the field with the tops in this league, but like that we can carry our own. And that we just as that East game could have been ours, was ours, you know? And so to me, this just gets me more excited about the playoffs.
Yeah. It's going to take 24 hours to get over this one for me. I'm so livid with how it ended.
Yeah.
Especially with the refereeing, but we don't want to make this a super long one. We know it's the holidays and everything. So just jumped out a couple other things. The run game, yes, was sporadic. They broke off some big runs in this game and then went for nothing. We kind of went over that. Gibbs still looks phenomenal in this offense when he's given the hole. I thought he's going to punch into the end zone here. They just didn't quite do it. Another down fall to this team tonight also is the red zone play calling was kind of bizarre.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, he got really stiff in the red zone. I feel like he was afraid to make a mistake.
Oh. Right, and then some not some great blocking, but a lot of runs to the outside, some stretch. I just wanted to be like quick hitter, especially to Monty, like up the middle, which they finally did like later, but. Kind of took him a while to get to that point.
They always do that like slant route to Laporte up the middle for like 8 yards, and it seems to work every single time. I don't know why they don't do it more often. It's always good for 8 to 10 yards.
I'm sure they got a certain look or something, but on that one, JMO was open for a touchdown on a slant route, I believe they showed from the overhead view. I don't think they looked his way though, and then he came under duress too late. But yeah, UJ, just anything on the red zone play calling?
Just that it wasn't very good. And give Dallas some credit. I mean, they schemed us well, I think, in this game. Our strength in the running game up the middle was being blunted a bit. These guys were shooting gaps or doing something that was very effective. And they were so stubbornly kept calling that damn draw play. It was befuddling to me. Every time, 3-5 yard losses. And they kept doing it. So I don't know. It was just rough. I thought they'd pass more in the red zone, but I don't know. Maybe it was just good defense. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, I mean, this is a really good Dallas defense. So, as evidenced by the pass rush tonight.
And shout out to the Lions defense. You know, I know I've always been hard on them, but I think they played a pretty good game against Dallas. And they
look what happens when Hutch doesn't get double teamed.
Tore it up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he did. He had a great game. The tackles in this game. Tyron Smith was a shell of himself. He's injured. He's getting old. And then the right tackle for the Cowboys is giving up the most pressures in the entire NFL. And it showed. And the spin move worked tonight for Hutch. The spin move was on tonight. It was good to see. So that made me laugh a little bit. And then, but somebody's stock that's way down is Cam Sutton. My God.
He got
somebody
torched.
Help
today.
That man.
He got torched today.
He got cooked.
He's in the burn unit right now. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Branch played pretty good. Jack Campbell, I thought, was just a stud out there today, most of the game. The defense generally played pretty good, yeah. You're right about Sutton, though. Bad game.
Yeah. Iffy Melifonwu, another interception. The man just keeps stepping up.
Yeah.
Huh?
That was
a lot of fun to see. Great pick, too. Like, just hit, like, three strides, he recovers to the spot that he needs to be in. And just his instincts took over right there, too. So, really, really cool to see his growth. And this Lions defense is operating a lot like the Steelers. Like, they're lining seven guys up at the line and doing all these weird stunts and blitz. They're, like, they're totally reforming this defense. Halfway through the season here. It's really interesting.
Glenn's done a great job of starting to figure out how to cover up more of our weaknesses and with building on our strengths better.
Yeah. Connor, your thoughts on, are you warming up to Glenn a little bit here in the second half season?
Yeah, I think that was one of the better Glenn performances. I think my one beef is that they decided not to cover CeeDee Lamb on half his receptions. But besides that, I thought they did a good job of containing Dak. He didn't rush for anything, really. He had, like, what, 6 yards rushing, maybe? Kept him in the pocket. Kept the tight ends humble. I was pretty happy with the result. If the offense had played like they normally do, I think they would have won that
game.
To
be fair, 92 of CeeDee Lamb's 227 yards tonight came on a play where Derek Barnes just did not use his arms.
That was the most bizarre.
I don't know what the hell was going
thing.
On there? That was bizarre.
If I'm a free blitzer and I see the quarterback, usually I want to try to like tackle him.
yeah.
I don't know. Just a thought.
You could see it. Dan Campbell screams at him on the sidelines.
What was
afterwards.
He doing? Like, he had a perfect play for that. Was a safety. That was a 9-point swing.
Honestly, the way he missed that made you want to ask him, like, what was the line he had on this game or something? Was a safety would have blown it up or something? Like, it looked weird. Like, he didn't even, like, make an attempt to adjust his angle or anything. He just, like, ran right by him. It was, like, with no arm use. It was so weird.
Yeah, he tucked his right arm down, like, trying to avoid him almost. You're trying to give him a little shoulder hit or something. And Dak just easily stepped around it. Horrible. Simple wrap up. He was done. That was it. It was over.
Yeah. Really, really bizarre. And, you know, yeah. And he's been playing great, too. It's just really, like, he made some other nice plays later in the game. Just like, what the hell? I mean, I guess everybody just has a brain fart every once in a while. Because the blitz was perfectly called and he was on the right path to success. At least slow him down. Do something. because obviously it cost him mightily. But, you know, for all the Dan Campbell stuff, we had to mention a fake punt on their own. It seems like on their own 30, that range is usually where success happens. Although I think we went for it on our own 30 once earlier this year and didn't get it on a run.
Hey, but what a brilliant call, though. You know, last time we did the fake punt, we snapped it to Maben. He ran for the first down the one time, and then he tried it again, and it failed. And now he made it look like the same thing again, and then he tosses that pass in just perfect. It was amazing.
Great throw. Great touch.
Like, yeah.
Especially,
so good.
Like, that was not an easy throw to make under any circumstance. So that was really cool to see. And you know, the Lions remain unpredictable at any point in the game, whether it's throwing that, and ultimately they can't convert the damn fourth and goal or punch it in from inside the five. That was infuriating, especially after executing that fake punt. You know, it's
a frustrating. I want to say one thing about the Lions.
This is a team. Yeah, go ahead.
Just
go ahead.
One thing I thought is that in terms of like how the defense attacked us, I think they exploited our trap game a bit and purposely were just attacking the backfield instead of, you know, holding the line and setting an edge like you normally do. And like they were just blowing right by LaPorta and stuff, like especially early on. He missed like two of his traps that he's been so good at this year.
LaPorta.
Yeah, like early in the game, like he said, he just whiffed on.
Our offense. Sorry, you
well, you shifted it earlier before I got my side in, so I just wanted to get it in because I'm about to lose the battery here. And I just want to say that one really hurt. But, you know, the future is still very bright for this team. So go Lions. I'll catch you gents later.
All right, Red Dog.
Yeah, the Lions run game still, I mean, yeah, a lot of runs were like negative yardage, but also still broke off 125 in this game and 31 carries. But yeah, I mean, just in general, though, this is going to definitely hurt the Lions in the standings, obviously. They're most likely going to be a 3 seed now, unless, like, the Eagles need to lose 2, I believe, the next 2. So basically, this cements the Lions as 3, which makes you think, will the Lions rest some guys? J-Mo did not come back in the game after his big catch. Unclear what's hurting him. I guess LaPorta was limping in the locker room, too, after the game. Someone else went down in this game, too, right? Can't remember for the life of me.
I would think about resting some O-line.
Yeah, I mean, rest Ragnow.
I mean, O-line health is critical in the playoffs.
Well, especially for this team. Any team, but.
But you want to get CJ in there if you can, and you want to get Houston in there if possible.
Definitely.
Get some game reps. I don't know, man.
Well, I'll tell you, if I'm a Dallas Cowboy today after this game, I wouldn't feel like I want it personally.
No.
You know?
So,
They'll reward the Lions with some fines. I'm sure they'll fine Goff tomorrow, and they'll fine Campbell for
questioning.
On field result,
but yeah. Anyways, I think we're gonna wrap it up here. We just gotta get our initial reactions to this, and everybody, we just hope you enjoy your holiday. YouTube at DTBK, or just type in Drinking a Blue Kool-Aid. Subscribe on there. We'll have some live streams going forward, especially with the playoffs around. Instagram at Drinking a Blue Kool-Aid, Twitter/X at Drinking Lions. Follow us on there. Thank you to SidelineReport.com for supporting the podcast. Really appreciate that. And our producer,
Kid J.
Thank you to our producer, Kid J, for crushing it every week. Well, we'll wrap it up here. We can't wait to hear what the league has to say later this week about this ridiculous call. But like Red Dog said, the future is bright, and we got the playoffs right ahead of us. So. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We greatly appreciate you. Enjoy your new year, and we can't wait for 2024 when the Lions are Super Bowl champs. All right. So last but not least, as always,
go Lions!
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.